Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Why have a worldwide missions program? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. For ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, may we understand this portion of Scripture. And then, Lord, based on the Word of God, Lord, may we encourage our folks. May we explain some things, maybe to some new Christians. And then, Lord, solidify some things in the hearts of those who have already believed this and are already committed to it, Lord. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be a part of a church that has a worldwide vision, a heart for the lost, not just in our community, but to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, may we not ever lose that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I love this portion of Scripture. Paul is an evangelist. Paul is a church planter. You won't see or find the word missionary in the Bible. We call Paul a missionary, but if you were to look as far as the biblical titles that was given to the church, I think he would definitely slot underneath the idea of being an evangelist, I think in the true sense and true definition of the word. Because Paul was very gifted to be able to come into a brand new community that had no lighthouse, roll up his sleeves, go soul winning, win people to Christ, organize it into a church, and then hand it off to a young preacher and go do it again. And I think he was very much an evangelizer, gifted in that arena. And so while he was busy doing this from city to city, we can read in the book of Acts, there was times when he didn't have money to even be able to take care of his own necessities. There would be times he would go into a city to soul win and plant a church. And what he would have to do is he'd have to join himself. He was a tent maker by trade. Remember, the Jewish communities raised their young men so that every single young man had a trade skill, a marketable trade skill. And the Jews have a saying to this day, if you raise a young man without a trade, you raise a thief. And so they were very committed to this. Our Lord Jesus Christ learned a trade in his young days and practiced that trade up till he was 30 years of age, took care of his mother and siblings after Joseph passed away. Most people believe Joseph passed away during that time frame somewhere, but you know what? They weren't at the mercy of the welfare system. They weren't at the mercy of charity, because there was a young man that had been trained in that family that even though Joseph had passed, could go to work and earn a living and supply for his mother and supply for his siblings. And that's what Jesus did. And so we see that Paul did that. Now, all the time he spent doing that, of course, would take away from the time that he could be soul winning and could be planting a church. And so as he began to plant these churches, you know, and do these things, I think it would be a fair expectation from Paul. Now tell me if you don't think so. But if you went into a town, won a bunch of people to Christ, formed it into a church, and they understood that you were going to the next town, wouldn't it make sense that out of sheer gratitude? I mean, the more churches he started, the more support he should have gained from the people that were beholding to him for having won them to Christ, and also understanding the Bible pattern of church planting. And so, but the report he gives to the church there in Philippi is, he said, you know, of all the churches I planted at this stage, there was nobody that was sending anything except for the church of Philippi. And that's what we see here. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, verse 14, that ye did communicate with my affliction. The word communicate doesn't mean that they wrote letters. It meant they sent money. And now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I depart from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again into my necessity. Now, folks, this isn't the time where they can just cash a check, wire it from bank to bank. When they had to, an offering, they had to take one of the church members that could be entrusted to go and take a trip to where the Apostle Paul was and find him and deliver that money. And, of course, the man that was involved in that is mentioned in this portion of Scripture, Epaphroditus. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now notice this last phrase here, because folks, this is the money they collected to help a evangelist, church planner, missionary, whatever you want to call him. He said, when I received that, this was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, I'm sure it was an encouragement to Paul, but he wanted to know that them to know that what they did before God was something that God leaned over and smelt that sacrifice and said that's well pleasing what they've done there. Now tied to that act, tied to this portion of Scripture that has to do with giving to missions and supporting church planting efforts, we are then given this promise, or this church is given this promise, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we got to be very careful just opening the Bible and grabbing a verse and decide you're going to pull it out and say, I'm just going to claim this verse because God said he's going to supply all our need. Now, you better understand that if there's a promise, it has to be interpreted in the context. And what he was saying was, I promise you this, Church of Philippi, y'all aren't going to have to worry about your needs being met, because what God saw you do, he's going to make sure that he generously supplies in your life. And that's where we get this wonderful verse about the generous provision of Almighty God and the care of Almighty God upon these people. And so why do we have a worldwide missions program? Why do we take up offerings and send them to the foreign field and here at home missions efforts, also church planting efforts? Why do we do these things? Because it's the biblical pattern. It's the Bible thing to do. And folks, God has one plan for reaching the world, and that is through the local New Testament church. Let's not forget that. Local New Testament church with local New Testament church ministries underneath the umbrella of that church is God's plan for reaching a lost world. And so we need to be starting churches. We need to be starting churches not just in America but around the world. And that's the missionaries that we support. That's what they're in the business of doing. So we've been taught well. The history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church is tied to missions giving. Within the first 9 months after the church was founded, honestly, a missions work itself. You know, in a man's living room, still meeting in a house, with the pastor still working a job. But you know what they voted to do? Take on a couple missionaries. And you know what? This church has a history of missions program, missions work. One of the things that I'll counsel somebody, if they're moving to a new area and they're looking for a new church, you know, one of the things that I'll say is, if you're going to go into a church and look around and decide where you ought to be, that one of the first things you ought to do is see how involved that church is in missions. Do they have a heart for the world? Do they have an active sacrificial missions program? Do the people have a heart for it? Do the pastor have a vision for it? Because I can guarantee you that that church will have the blessing of God upon it. So let me give you five reasons to have a missions program, or five reasons why we have a missions program here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Number one, a church missions program allows Christians to participate in missions giving. And as we just showed you in this scripture, missions giving and giving to church planting is very, very scriptural. I think everybody ought to have what I call a Bible-based giving strategy. We just spoke just not that long ago out of Malachi chapter 3 and taught on the tithes and offerings and how that is a command of the Lord. So I think everybody ought to come to church, and you ought to give one-tenth of the increase that God's increased you in the previous week, an offering with that. And that's what we take up in our general offerings. On Wednesday night, I don't explain this a lot, but I want to explain it from time to time. But Where did the offering go tonight, preacher? Every Wednesday night, we take up an offering, and that helps us to take care of our buildings and our grounds. It goes to our building fund. We're not planning at this stage of building any new building, but we still give to the building fund because it takes regular amount of money, a regular flow of money, just to upkeep and keep things fixed and keep things up to date and keep things painted, keep things sharp and fix things that get broken. So this Wednesday night gives you a chance to do that. I won't go into it. You can go back to 2 Kings chapter 12. And the temple had fallen in disarray. And one of the reasons was because the money was not being gathered for that purpose. They took a chest. They poked a hole in the top. They said, when you come to worship, let's put some in here. Let's get God's house where we meet looking sharp and first class. And I know it's winter time, but I want to say again, it won't be but a few months. We'll be having the lawn care meeting again. Thank you for every single person that works to keep the house of the Lord and the properties presentable. I don't believe you can separate your testimony, a church's testimony, from their buildings and grounds. People, what they drive by and see, it matters. And it matters if we just let trash. By the way, I don't understand some things, okay? I won't. You know I'm going to go on my little hobby horse here, but I can't imagine rolling down my window, taking trash and throwing it out a window. I don't care where I'm at. Okay, if you're in the habit of doing that, shame on you. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. What are you doing? You're too lazy to get to your house and take care of your own trash, so you're just going to throw it in somebody's yard or throw it just to mess up the... I mean, what is wrong with America, okay? So I needed to say that. But feel better. So, after that trip I took today, I mean, exciting, man. That's good. No trash there. People are holding onto the steering wheel, man. You're going to take your eyes off the road, brother. You ain't throwing no trash out the window. But if you're going to do that, you're going to do it in front of a church? You're going to throw it in front of a church? We've lost our marbles, you know. But I believe that just caring for the church property, upkeep of the church property, it's a testimony for the Lord. For the Lord's reflection on Him and how much we care about Him. So tithes and offerings, we give the building fund, and then missions giving. And that's, we take that offering on and during our Sunday school hour. And that goes to support all of the worldwide missions efforts back there. And then there's other opportunities the Lord will give you to give. The poor we have with us, people that God brings across your path, divine opportunities to give. Sometimes we'll give others offerings or special projects. And as the Lord leads in all of that. But folks, listen to me. A church missions program allows us to be involved in the giving of the gospel and sending of the gospel around the world. And so tithes and offering, building fund, number 3, missions giving, number 4, divine opportunities to give. So number 1, a church missions program allows Christians to participate in missions giving. If you don't give it in the Sunday school offering, there's envelopes in front of you, and you can pick out one that says missions. And I just give once a month, and I've committed to give so much a month, I've committed to give so much a week. Maybe up to this point, I'm just going to kind of prep you. Preacher, I've given my tithes and offerings, but I've never given any extra for missions. Well, we're going to give you an opportunity to make a commitment to do that. I want you to be tender to what the Lord would move in your heart to give, because I promise you that these verses that we read, God does not forget people that give to missions. Not because I desire a gift, Paul said in verse 17, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, number 1, we want to have a missions program because it allows Christians to participate in missions giving. Number 2, a missions program brings the blessing of God upon a church and its members. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. And God's reached over the banisters of heaven and He smelled that odor, a sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. God blesses missions-minded churches. This is the testimony of thousands of churches. I remember as a young man walking to the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and back in the days where Lee Robertson was pastoring down there. And one of the things that struck me the moment that I walked in was this was a missions church. They would have the flags all the way around the balcony, running down both sides of every single country that they were supporting a missionary in. And boy, you could just see it displayed. And this wasn't during Missions Emphasis Month. This was all the time. They wanted everybody to keep that in front of them and know that, you know what, we give to missions. And you know what, as long as they kept that heart, it was amazing how God's hand stayed on that ministry. And so I think that this is the testimony of the people in the book of Acts. I think it's proved out today. I mentioned already, if you're looking for a church, boy, you ever God ever moves you to another city, another state, I wouldn't join a church that didn't have a heart for missions. I wouldn't join it. I wouldn't join it. I want to know, you know, everybody can talk about it, what they think is important. But I always say this, follow the money. You follow the money, you're going to see what is really important to that church. Follow the money, you really find out what's important to an individual and to a family also. And so missions program brings the blessing of God. We've already established that. Number three, a missions program gives us an opportunity to train our children and young people to give to missions. Boy, I don't want to just run past this. You know, a month like this, folks, allows you to really spend some time at home talking to your young people about the importance of missions. I hope that you pray for our missionaries. I hope that your kids know about our missionaries. I hope that they are encouraged to give to missions themselves. One of the ways to get God's blessing upon your children is to get them involved in missionary projects, get them involved in missionary giving. Now, I said this when I was preaching on tithes and offerings about our young people. You get up to a certain age and you get a job or you start doing some part-time jobs. Man alive, I talked about you bring that tithe. You bring an offering with that tithe. But let me encourage you, also ask the Lord what he would do to have you do concerning missions. Say, preacher, why is it important that we teach our children, young people, to have a heart to give to missions? Because the Bible says that where your treasure is, there your heart will also follow. And by the way, I believe this. If young people in the church have a heart to give, they will also have a heart to go. And I'm just going to stop here a minute and look at all of our young people and just tell you this. Don't you shut out the Lord's voice during Missions Emphasis Month. And I know God raises some people up, and you know what? He raises them up in the church, and they're the next generation that's going to take the work on, and they stay right home, and that's fine. But also, I believe in every generation, God taps certain on the shoulder and wants them to go from this place. And it may not just be a state or two away. It might be on the other side of the world. And I want you to be open to that, open to what God would have you to do. Young people, you ought to spend some time just going down missionary hall and reading those letters and praying and saying, God, I just want you to know that if you wanted me to do something like this, I'd be willing to do it. I'm not saying it's your idea. You can't decide. I'm talking about just offering yourself to the Lord, because if you, but you know what? You know how you're going to get a heart to do that? It starts through the giving. Let me give you number four. A missions program develops in our membership a John 3:16 heart for the world. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Acts 1:8, let me have you turn over there real quick. Acts 1:8, I show up at some point during Missions Emphasis Month. You know I'm going to this verse. And you know what I'm going to talk about. So say, preacher, you talked about it last year. I know. But preacher, you talked about it 2 years ago. I know. You talked about it 3 years ago. Let me just save you some time, okay? I've pastored 14 years. I preached this 14 years in a row, and not just during Missions Emphasis Month. I'm going to say this over and over and over till I believe. I want everybody just to know it, to get it, to understand it, to believe it, and to participate in it. But I believe in Acts 1:8, we're given what I call the both philosophy, and I believe it ought to be the template for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I say it often, but listen to me. A small town church can and should have a worldwide impact. A small town church can and should have a worldwide impact. And the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, both in Jerusalem. Not just one of these. Well, I just picked one and that's where I'm serving. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. One of the philosophies, one of the Bible principles we've tried to keep before our church is that as a church in Jasonville, Indiana, we want to impact our Jerusalem. Hey, go back there and look at the map. What do you think that whole thing's about? That's just another way to take, to allow us to in a greater way impact our Jerusalem with the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, every time we get to into one of those areas and we're able to put finished on there, that's a big deal. I mean, the gospel got delivered to every door, every single house on that. Now, listen, if that's not a big deal to you, what is a big deal to you? Because you got your big mixed up. If that's not a big deal, then what is a big deal to you? Okay? We got to figure this thing out. Are we just going to spend our whole life with our eyes on the temporal, on the materialistic? This life's a vapor. It appears for a short time, vanishes away. I mean, here we have an opportunity to impact our Jerusalem, to deliver the gospel to every single home. I believe in gospel saturation. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he would not have commanded us to do something where, first of all, he didn't have a purpose. Number two, his expectation was that we obey it. If every single church in America would carve out its Jerusalem, whatever that is, and decide they're getting the gospel to every door, we could get it to every creature. Now, you say, well, there's places there's not. Well, that's why we got to talk about church planning, don't we? I mean, there wasn't, listen, you realize just 3 years ago there wasn't a church down there in Princeton area knocking on doors and giving the gospel out, and now there is? You realize that 8 years ago there wasn't a church over here on the other side of the river that was knocking every door in that area and getting the gospel to them? This is why we reach our Jerusalem. This is why we're concerned about our Judea. Let's find those spots in southern Indiana. Let's find those places where there's a gap, a hole where nobody's reaching. And let's start churches. You know, every once in a while I'll get a guy, and I'm not God. People got to do what God tells them, but I think they need to pray about it. You know, I don't really think we need another church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Okay, I mean, after a while, we go to the Bible Belt, we go where there's a Baptist church on every corner, and some guy wants to say, I want to start another church. Well, why don't you go somewhere where there's nobody, where nobody's reaching anything? A lot of those guys aren't interested in starting a church. They're interested in putting themselves in the middle of a bunch of churches so they can steal members and then have a church. I'm telling you, there's no other reason to do it. If it's already being reached for Christ, then why in the world are we putting one more there when there's places in America where there's nobody knocking doors? There's nobody reaching anything. And so I think our church planting ought to be in these areas where it's not being reached. And so what are we doing? We want to saturate our city with the gospel. We do it through door-to-door soul winning. We do it through, there's no other way to achieve gospel saturation. When I hear somebody say door-to-door soul winning doesn't work, I think, what do you mean it doesn't work? Our command is to take the gospel to every creature. If we go door-to-door and we take it to every creature, it worked. Whether or not one person walks in or not, it worked. We followed the plan. What do you mean it didn't work? Okay, folks, in this day and age, we're doing a lot more soul warning than we are soul winning. Yeah, most of the places we go, you're not soul winning, you're soul warning. But we're still commanded to do it. You know, nobody in this area ought to be able to stand before God and say, well, nobody ever knocked on my door, nobody ever left the gospel track. Well, God's going to look down and say, well, what about the Blessed Old Baptist Church? Remember when you pulled that off your door, shook your head, swore under your breath, and threw it in the trash? Had a message in there that could have delivered your soul from hell. You know, folks, we're not responsible for how people respond to the gospel, but we're responsible on getting the gospel to them. And so a lot of these days when we're out there doing that and we don't see any tangible results, we're still seeing results because we're doing what God told us to do, okay? And they say, well, we don't do soul winning. We do it other ways. Well, what other way achieves gospel saturation? I've mentioned this. I'm glad that Brother Castle down here has a Christian radio station. I'm glad that the Word of God's being taught on a daily basis. But I promise you, not everybody in our Jerusalem is listening to that radio station. Okay, I'm glad we have a bus ministry. Not everybody in this area is getting on a bus. There's only one way to achieve gospel saturation. All right, all right, amen. First time I ever said that. I just like, only one way. And we're going to talk a lot about this and see if we can get a lot more of you involved in it. start in March. And if not, then you can pray for the rest of us. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to start several soul winning ministries. We ought to put as many hooks out there as possible. I'm for doing, you know, I tell people, I'm not against outside the box ministries. You know, people say, well, this kind of house, you know, we got an Operation Think of It. We do other things where we specialize. I was thinking today, as I was going through Taco Bell, and I should not have went to Taco Bell today. I can't hardly breathe right now, man. I had to run up there to Lenten to get something. I don't eat on Wednesdays. If I do, I just eat a few crackers. I just don't. It's a busy day. I don't even usually think about food on Wednesdays. But I was coming by Taco Bell, and I don't even think I was hungry. I just wanted to taste a taco. But I'm cheap. And so I looked around, and there's all these things. I don't know what to order. It's just, so I'm a cheapskate. So I'm like, $5 box, man. So I said, hey, that $5 box, whatever comes in that, just send it. What do you want to drink? And I told you I'd stay away from water. My doctor's trying to get me to drink water, right? You know. Listen, don't just listen to your doctor. Research it. No. If you want me to give up Pepsi and Dr. Pepper and drink water. So I did some research. Water is involved in 100% of all drownings. Show me one person that's ever drowned in Dr. Pepper. I mean, I think it's dangerous. So I got a Pepsi. I got this box. I didn't even know what was in it. I opened it up, and I'm trying. You ever try to eat Taco Bell and drive? That's a bad idea, too. But the thing that was kind of wrapped, some kind of a, like a gigantic bean burrito thing. But not good. I'm eating that thing, and every bite, I'm like, I shouldn't eat this. I shouldn't, but it was good. It was good. Now I feel like I got a football in my stomach right here. How did I get off on that? Where was I? You know, Taco Bell. I have no idea. Somehow I got in a Taco Bell. I was given the gospel. Yeah, that's it. I gave that lady a track, too, so that was what it was all about. I'm for out of the box. Out of the box? Is that where I was? I'm grasping right now. I'm all for the out of the taco box ministries. If you want to think outside the box, that's fine. But don't, that's what I tell people, don't throw the box away. And a lot of times, this was such a good illustration before. Let me tell you why people are turning more and more to technology to minister. Because they can sit on their rear ends at their desk in front of their computer and tap a few things and feel good that they're getting the gospel out. Let me just tell you, it's laziness. It's laziness. You know, I'm going to start quizzing some of these guys that come through and starting churches. I'm tired of reading church planters' letters that never mention anything about going soul winning. I mean, they got a whole 15 people to take care of. If you're starting a church, you need to be out there. Okay, I called both of our church plant guys. We don't even support Brother Gerald anymore. But I call him beginning of every year, and I said, what's the plan for this year? I said, you're at a point where you got enough people. If you're not careful, you're going to get comfortable. You say, what? Yeah, come on now. They need an old guy like him. And I'm not saying he's doing it. I'm just going to make sure he don't. I called Brother Reiser. You can ask him. I had to talk to him. I said, listen. With my blessing, I told you, get this house done. You're in it now. I said, let me tell you what the danger is. Is you've kind of gotten off the 25-30 hours of knocking doors, and it's hard to get back to it once you get onto it. I said, what's the plan for this year? Brother, listen, that church hadn't arrived yet. And by the way, neither is this one. Well, we're the perfect example of a church that just has enough people and just has enough income where if we wanted to, we could just get comfortable. And we'd come every day and we could look around. We could just talk about, boy, this is a good church, good church, good church. Now, listen, you know what a good church is? Good church is a church that's an obedient church. Good church is a church that's doing what God told us to do, and that's get the gospel to every creature. We're not a good church if we're sitting here not getting out there after souls. We're not a good church. We're a backslidden church if we're sitting here coming every week getting fat on the blessings and not stop one lost sinner week after week after week and tell them anything about Jesus. Shame on us. We ought to be convicted about that. So folks, they're out there. They're out there. Let's get after them. So our Jerusalem, our Judea. Amen. And our Samaria. What about America? What are we going to do about America? Boy, I don't know about you, but if you watch the news, you can get discouraged real quick about where America's at. Well, what's the cure? Well, we just got to get control of the house. No, we got to get church control of the house of God. We need to get the church back doing what it's supposed to do. And so, you know, whatever we can do, and we've got a lot of things that reach out. Thank God for our website. Thank God for our radio ministries and the impacts of that. Thank God for the sermons that's being put on every week. And Brother Klein, thank you for keeping up with that. People that are writing and calling in and listening to messages from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, people that we'll never meet that's being influenced by this ministry. And we got to do everything we can. I'm all for using all the stuff. Like I said, I'm all for thinking outside the box. But let's not do that and stop doing the main thing, which is getting out there and getting our own. That brings us to the world. How are we going to impact the world? The healthy missions program, a healthy missions program, a program that is being fed through the sacrificial giving of God's people. We want to send the gospel around the world. But I want to mention this again. One of the ways that we can influence outside of our Jerusalem is not only sending the gospel around the world and supporting missionaries that are willing to go and supporting church planters that are out there trying to plant churches, but by sending our own young people and having young people that have a heart and are willing to consider what God would have them to do. And, you know, like I said, God may keep you here and God may send you. And you know what? Whatever his will is, do it. Do it. Do it. All right, and so we're talking about our responsibility. A missions program develops in our membership a John 3:16 heart for the world. This last thought, a missions program allows every Christian to seek and follow the Holy Spirit's leading in sacrificial giving. And folks, this is where one of those areas where we give our tithes and offerings to the local assembly. We help a little with the building program so we keep the place looking decent and nice. But, you know, this arena of giving to worldwide missions is something that you need to get with the Lord about. You know, we've just never been a church, and I think that God's blessed the way we do it. I think Dad had the right idea. He's never got up and tried to get everybody to give a certain amount. You know, I believe in equal sacrifice, not equal giving. Let me say that again. I believe in equal sacrifice, not equal giving. What might be a real sacrifice for somebody might not even be much of a sacrifice for somebody else. So we're not all given the same, but we ought to be sacrificing. Everybody ought to be sacrificing to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, what am I supposed to give to missions? I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that. I can tell you this, if you'll keep your heart open and you'll pray and you listen to everything that's said this week or this month and you listen to the need, and you go before the throne of grace, whatever God tells you to do, you ought to do it. Preacher, I feel like God's wanting me to do this, but I don't know how I could do it. If he's putting on your heart to do something that is a sacrificial by faith giving, let me tell you something. The just shall live by faith. I said faith, not foolishness. I know sometimes we can conjure things up in our own mind, but I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. If he challenges you to do something, I mean, would we ever or have we ever given in such a way where we had to alter our standard of living to help get the gospel out? I mean, would we be willing to alter our standard of living in order to get the gospel out? I think America has such a great opportunity. And you know what? God's blessed our country financially. And we have a great opportunity to get behind some missionary projects and, boy, just send the gospel around the world. Thank you, church, for loving missions. Thank you for caring about missions. Thank you for caring about missionaries when they come through. Thank you for making them feel welcome. And I mean, make them feel like VIPs. You can't, whatever you can do for their kids, do it. And whatever you can do for the wife, do it. And they're going to be on deputation, which is a crazy way to live 2 or 3 or 4 years of your life. And then they're going to go to an entire different culture and a different place. And they're going to start all over. And it's going to take them a year or so just to figure out, get their feet on the ground. But man, they're still calling. Sometimes people say, well, we're just not sending missionaries like we used to. Well, come sit in my office for a month. Because that phone's ringing off the hook of young couples and young families trying to get a meeting so that they can get to the mission. I'm telling you, it's ringing off the hook. So there's still young people going. And a lot of times the reason they have to spend as much time as they do on deputation, sometimes some of them even 4 or 5 years, I'm sorry, but I just look at American churches and say, why? Why? If they're willing to give up their entire lives, we're not willing to say, Lord, what would you have me give on a weekly or a monthly basis in 2019 to support Blessed Hope Baptist Church's worldwide missions program? And if you'll do that, that'll be that sweet savor that God smells. You know what? You can go to verse number 19 and say, that promise is for me now. God shall supply my needs according to his riches and glory. Nothing more fun. Nothing more fun. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless Lord Jesus. And help us, dear God, to stay tender-hearted. Lord, thank you for the way that you've abundantly blessed us here in America. And Lord, before we get into another year where we're making plans about upgrading this and remodeling this and redoing this and buying this, and may we take a look at how good you've been to us. And say, Lord, what would you have us do? What would you have us do for the sake of the gospel? For the sake of the gospel, what would you have me do? And then, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would answer and that we would be obedient. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name.